Amen. Glorify thy name in all the earth. And that is, I believe that's the goal for today. As I almost ran up here when I saw Ivy running back. And I thought, am I that excited to worship? You know, because it's not appropriate to run up here. But because I would have probably fallen down and made a scene. But anyway, I just overwhelmed, maybe. And part of it is, I've been looking at a very, very familiar scripture. And sometimes I hesitate even saying that because it's like, you know, you've heard it all before. There's a temptation for us to think that way, that when we come to church, it's kind of a common thing. It's a familiar thing. It's a comfortable place, isn't it? It's kind of, and sometimes what happens, this, I'm talking for myself, is it's easy for me to become kind of complacent and just to kind of relax and go through the motions, and because we got lunch coming up here shortly, and or maybe even a birthday party or whatever. But it's like we are here for just a really short period of time every week, and I hope to God that this is not the only nutrition you get spiritually, because if it is, you're going to be very lean, right? I'd like to look at the parable of the sower, and they're found in three of the Gospels. I'm going to look at chapter 4 of Mark today, and part of the reason that I thought of this is that we're getting closer to spring, hallelujah, right? And there are some of you who are thinking, I can't wait to get my fingers in the dirt. Now, I'm not quite that crazy about gardening, so, but if we could think that spiritually, I can't wait to get my fingers into the soil of my heart. Am I preparing the soil of my heart to receive? Because I think it's so crucial. I mean, if you come to the service today and you don't receive anything, it's not the word's fault. It could be the preacher's fault, but it's not the word's fault, right? The seed that we're going to talk about is pure. There's absolutely nothing wrong with the seed, because the seed is the word of God, right? Can you say that? The seed is the word of God. Okay, so, and as I saw these youngsters up here, I had to cry. Sunday school teachers, you may not think you're a sower, but you are. You're a sower of the seed. And each one of us, we're going to do something with that seed. It's up to me. And there are times when we really, really thrive, don't we? And but we'll get into that. But as we come together, one of the top things I want us to realize is that the seed is the word of God. And what we have is the written word of God here in our Bibles. We have the written word of God. And even as I thought of our Sunday school lesson today and how to let that sink in. That's awesome, isn't it? We are partakers. Because of what? Let's look at that. Change it up a little here. We'll have Sunday school. You get 2 Peter here. In verse 3, it says this: according to his divine power hath given unto us. And maybe you should put your name in there. All things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby we are given unto us. There again, whereby are given unto Dean exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And we talked about that verse. We say, well, that's almost a contradiction of what Tony shared. But it's like, no. We can escape the lust and the wickedness and the perverseness of the world. We're not completely going to be out of it. But we have an escape. There's an escape route, and that is through Jesus Christ. So, this morning, we often think of this as the parable of the sower, but I think in some ways you could say it's the parable of the soils. You have different manner of soils that Jesus is talking about, and we know that in this case Jesus was the sower. He's the sower is God, of course, but each one of us are sowers. You carry the word with you, and you share it. We share it, brothers and sisters, with each other. And it's up to us to receive it. So in Mark 4, verses 1 through 20, and again he began to teach by the sea. And a great multitude was gathered to him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea. Then he taught them many things by parables, and said to them in his teaching, listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And it happened as he sowed that some seed fell to the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground, where it did not have much earth. And immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched. And because it had no root, it withered away. Some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased, and produced, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100-fold. And he said to them, he who hath ears to them, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. We could stop there and just, I think in one of the Gospels it said that he cried out, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And I don't think it's a matter of how the quality of our hearing is it that we're really listening. It's God is warning, or in other words, he's encouraging them to listen. And in Matthew, I believe it says that he left the house and went to the sea, which could be symbolic of him leaving the house of Israel. The house was referred to Israel. I don't know if we want to make a big thing of that. But Jesus went out by the sea, and Most of us have heard this story or read it in a Bible storybook, and we all probably had ideas. I don't know. I always thought, well, why would you cast your seed on the stony ground, you know? I mean, but you think about it, it's like that whosoever will, right? It's like it's available. The Word of God, the gospel is available to whoever. It doesn't matter if your heart is stony. It doesn't matter what kind of soil you have. The Word of God is available. And to me, it's like the seed that the sower is sowing is, I mean, you picture him reaching in a bag. I don't think they had these fancy GPS-controlled tractors going down the field with a drill or whatever. But they had, you know, they were scattering seeds. And if you think about the seed, that there is an overabundance of seed. There's enough seed for everybody. It doesn't matter if that person wants to hear it or not. And then we go on to verse 10. And it says this, "But when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable. And he said to them, 'To you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But to those who are outside, all things come in parables, so that seeing they may see, so that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them.' And he said to them, 'Do you understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables?'" Verse 14, a very simple verse. It says, "The sower sows the word." Very simple. "And these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word immediately receive it with gladness. And they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the world's sake, immediately they stumble." Verse 18, "Now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires of other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful." And then verse 20 says this, "But these are the ones sown on good ground, and those who hear the word accept it and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60-fold, and some 100-fold. I think probably all of us would like to think that we are the good ground. But if we're really honest, there are probably periods in our life when we have had hard soil. Maybe we still do. Where we come, and I'm not just talking about coming to church, and we drag ourselves in here. I'm not just talking about that. But that may be a part of it. But I'm talking about when I read the Word of God, and especially this is what convicted me, is like when I read the Word of God, is it making any kind of an impact on my life? Or am I just kind of going through the motions? And the scary part that I see in this is that Let's just look at the difference. There's four different soils. The hard soil that is by the wayside. And most of us say, well, we wouldn't plant grass in our driveways because it's not going to grow, or a path that's packed down. And our garden's been in the year of Jubilee now for a couple of years, so it looks pretty bad out there. But in order for us to have a garden again, we'd have to dig it up. Maybe the key verse... one of the verses that I thought of, that a theme verse for this message is Hosea 10:12 says this, "Sow for yourselves righteousness, reap in mercy, break up the fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he comes and rains righteousness on you." And so I would like for you, even as we contemplate meetings next week, that's one of the other things it's like I thought of is, okay, we're having meetings. How do I prepare? How do I prepare to receive that word? I mean, because I'm responsible. And it says here that break up your fallow ground. So if there's anything that you want to take with you this week, Break up the fallow ground. Get rid of the old soil. Dig it up. Run it through a blender, whatever you need to do. Get it so it's soft so that the Word of God can penetrate. And I'm talking about everyday living, really. It's not just when we come to church, but it has that plays a part in us. Is that? And I don't know. I was blessed by the choices of songs this morning. The first song that we were singing is "Fill My Cup, Lord. I Lift It Up, Lord." And we could sing, "Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord." It's like, is that how our heart is? Because I think sometimes mine is. But if I'm really, truly serious about it, and I say, "Fill my cup, Lord. Fill it up." Maybe we'd sing louder. I don't know. Maybe, how do we prepare even for a church service? I don't know. Maybe we should do more singing in the shower before we get our voices loosened up and warmed up and we could really sing. We're here to worship God. And I know that this is just the one day out of the week that we do that. We do it as a body. And I'm encouraged. I'm blessed by brothers and sisters coming together and worshiping God. But as we look at these soils, and I'm not a agricultural genius or an agronomist or whatever you call it. Probably said that wrong. But anyway, if we're planting in fields, there's farmers that would take soil samples, and they would take it and get it analyzed and say, okay, so what do I need here? Maybe we need to do that with our own heart. Is like that soil sample, what's it like? Is it hard? Is it too busy? You ever think of I think of this even as I get older, it's like there's so much stuff in my mind and it just kind of, it's like a flash, 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 and it's like just so many things that are on our mind sometimes, and sometimes we can't even sleep because of that. It's not that we're so smart, but it's that we just, it's like it's taken over our brain, isn't it? It's like there's, and I think that's why sometimes we just need to say, okay, let's just wait here. Let's just wait quietly and just calm. I'm not talking about yoga or whatever, but I'm talking about waiting on the Lord in this fast-paced world that we live in. And one of the other things is when you think of a seed doing something, it doesn't just, you plant it and there it is. The next day you have a full plant of corn and you're ready to harvest. It doesn't work that way. It's a process. And that's how our life is. I think that's how our Christian life is as well. It's a sanctification process. And sometimes we have days like Tony was talking about. We have days where it's easier to curse than it is to bless. We don't like to use that word, but because we think of curse as fluhing or using bad language, but it's like in our mind, what am I doing? Am I blessing? Do I realize the fallenness of this world? And if we look all around us, we know that there's fallen. There's people that aren't here today because they can't come because of health issues. And there are people who aren't here because they've passed on. Well, that's part of the fallen world. But the plant of the Word of God, the seed of the Word of God, will do its work. How many of you have had issues and you've decided, you know, maybe I should just pray? I don't even know how to pray. But it almost seems that at the very second that you just come to God and say, God, it's almost like there's a peace that moves in. You haven't even said anything. But isn't it the attitude of my heart? When I come to God and recognize I need help. That's the initial thing. It's not so much how well I say it. But it's the thing of me just recognizing, you know what? Without you, God, I'm nothing. And that's why Scripture, even as I think of the Psalms, is so, so meaningful. It's like, it's a recognition of our need for God. So the hard soil is a person who comes to church who doesn't even want to hear. He doesn't even plan to hear. But here's the dangerous part of that. When Jesus explained this, and the other thing about the whole parable thing, I want you to study that a little more. We're not going to have time to explain that all, but because it's like, why don't you want people to know? But if you think about it, you know, don't you? Because you have an experience with Jesus Christ. And if that should get you excited, because to you has been revealed the mysteries, not because of who you are, but whose you are. To you has been revealed the mystery of, and I don't know how Jesus did this with his disciples, but somehow I think he opened their eyes. Whereas the others, they didn't really want to know, right? So they weren't able to see, they weren't able to hear. But in verse 15, this is another point that I want you to think about, and that is this. It says that the ones by the wayside where the word is sown, when they hear, Satan comes and immediately takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. That's scary, isn't it? Part of that is when you have an attitude of, well, I don't really want to hear, I don't really want to listen, you're opening yourself to Satan coming in and taking even that good seed away. And he uses birds as an example of robbing that seed. There could be different things that rob us of that seed. It could be the crowd we hang around with. But it's a calloused heart that does not receive. But it's amazing sometimes how that seed is still sown, isn't it? And I don't know how you explain. I mean, we don't just plant one seed and then that's it. We're done gardening now for the rest of our lives. But we continue to, in some ways, we continue to take in seeds, don't we? We continue to read the Word of God. We continue to take it in, and we continue to hopefully produce that fruit. The stony soil. And the stony soil was probably a common, I have never been to Palestine, but stony places are common in Palestine. And one example is that Lindsay and Lyndon, they live in Virginia, and they're digging a basement for their house. And when they were digging a basement, they got down there on a big rock. And of course you wouldn't try to plant a garden there, but they're trying to build a house there, which is, according to the Bible, it's wise. The wise man builds upon a rock. But it's like they had to chop away on that rock. And isn't that kind of how we have to do with our heart? Sometimes there's just plumb rocks. We have to yield that rock to the hammer of God's love, to his discipline, to his, in order to receive the word. And one of the things that it says is that the stuff that's sown on the rock is there's people that are just, yeah, I want this. But this doesn't have any depth. It says that in no time it's... They receive it with gladness, it says in verse 16. But they don't have any root in themselves, so they don't endure only for a time. And then if trials come, we have trials, don't we? How many of us have said, what's the use, God? Seems like I pray and nothing happens. The next one is the thorny soil. And I think this represents what Jesus said, the cares of this world is the first one. The cares of this world. They are the important things of this world, right? Or the things that we think are really important. Isn't it amazing how in certain times of our life, there are some things in our life that we think are extremely important until there's a tragedy or a loss of a loved one. It's amazing how that just changes your perspective and you don't even remember. I remember when my mom died. It's like, you know, you have these plans that you're going to do or whatever. And I don't think that's not wrong. But it's amazing how fast things can change when there's a change that you can't control. And what do I do in that situation? Is that the cares of this world? And then it also says the deceitfulness of riches. And it doesn't really matter how much wealth each one of us has. The deceitfulness of riches is, I think, every one of us has to deal with that. Whether we're poor, whether we're rich or whatever, it's like, if we think that the answer to our joy and deep peace or whatever is more money, that's not the answer. That's the deceitfulness of riches. And then it also says, and the desires for other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Now this morning we could probably make a list of things that choke out the word, but Jesus doesn't do that. He lets you decide that. You know what it is. There are other things that choke out the word. How many of you, when you were praying, you get really sidetracked easily, and it's like you're trying to pray, and it's like your mind goes over here and over there, and it's like, that's our humanness. I encourage you to keep coming back. Keep pursuing God. So then, the fourth soil is the good soil. How do we get to have good soil? Some seed, and as I think of this, as when we plant garden, for example, if I would go out and just start making rows in our garden right now, I probably wouldn't do all that well. But I go out and I get a tiller and bounce around and work the soil, right? I work it. I get it ready. And I don't know how do I do that spiritually? How do I get my soil ready spiritually? Maybe you've got some ideas. I'm going to open it up here after the sermon. If you've got some ideas, how do I keep that soil plowed and tilled and ready to receive the word whenever the seed comes, whenever it comes? How do we keep it that way? But this is a picture of the heart that has been plowed deeply by the Word of God. The only way I'm going to receive the Word of God is to be in tune with the Word of God, isn't it? It's almost like only God can soften my heart. But I have to be willing to say, God, create in me a clean heart. Use me, make me, mold me, shape me. It's like, otherwise, my heart is not going to be ready. We can have any kind of seminar and meetings or whatever, but if we're not going to receive it, if we're not going to hear it, if we're not going to hear the word, we're going to lose the benefit of the richness of being exposed to the truth, to the word of God. And I think there are some exciting things when young people make a commitment to follow Jesus Christ. And part of that is because of the seeds that have been sown, and all of a sudden it's like a light comes on and it illuminates. And there's a change. There's a change that only can happen by the grace of God. And that's exciting. But in some ways it's exciting for us. We should be open for God to continuously change me. Is it becoming stale? Is it becoming old? Whose fault is it? Get your tiller out. Till your soil. And if you notice one thing, it's this, is that the only difference between these soils was the fruit. I'd like to just emphasize this again, that the seed is perfect. This seed is perfect. I mean, we can buy seeds that are bad or whatever, but this seed is perfect. It is the Word of God. It's pure. There's the pure Word of God is perfect. Only the good soil brought forth a harvest. So the question is, what kind of soil do I have? Are we bearing fruit for the glory of God as we should? In one part, it's like, don't get hung up on fruit bearing, but just abide in Christ. John chapter 15, 1-11, read that. It's like abiding in the vine. There's a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God. And then also, great is thy faithfulness. O God, my Father, you are faithful, God. And I need you. I need you in my life, in all phases of life. There's a phrase, there's a quote I was listening to Tony Evans, and there's a quote that he says. It says, if God's word is not working, you need to check the ground it landed on, because there is nothing wrong with the seed. Hearing the Bible preached is like eating an appetizer. Once you hear the sermon, no matter how much you liked it or enjoyed it, all you got was the appetizer. The full meal comes when you take the word of God you have heard and process it and digest it and put it to use in your daily life. There's nothing wrong with the seed, because the seed is the word of God, and therefore the word of God is perfect. The damage is in the soil. And I want us to remember that. We play an important part on how we receive the word of God. I'd like to just close with the prayer in Psalm 139 that says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Let's bow for prayer. God, I thank you for your amazing word. And I pray that you would just impact us and impress on our minds the importance of your word, and also the importance of us submitting to your will and to allow your word to penetrate. And help us, God, to have that soil of our hearts tilled up and get rid of the old soil, get rid of the rocks and the weeds, the things that hinder us. And help us to also remember that It is a spiritual battle, spiritual warfare that we are in, that Satan does not want us to receive the seed. And so it is important for us to get a hold of that seed and to hang on to it and to plant it in our hearts and allow you to do its work. Help us, Lord, to be patient. Help us to wait on you. Even in the busyness of life, help us to realize that you are God, you are holy, and you are powerful. And we rest in you, God, in knowing that because of you, we can go on every day. Not because everything's great, but because you are great. And so go with us even today as we go from here. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.